Good evening, young disciples.
Good evening, sir.
How are you all doing tonight?
Good, sir.
Or if I would truly steal from Tennessee, I would say, how are you all doing tonight? But, you know, I'm not a Southerner, but since I got my education down there, you know, I try to be true to my education and use my Southern accent once in a while. And how many of you have heard of a place by the name of Andrews University? Okay, I have a really difficult question for you. Andrews University was named after a man by the name of who? Wow, you guys are smart. Do any of you know who Mr. Andrews was? J.N. Andrews. Who was he? He said he was the first Adventist foreign missionary. Is that true?
Yes, sir.
You guys know anything else about J.N. Andrews? I'm going to tell you some things about J.N. Andrews. You know anything about J.N. Andrews when he was a teenager? J.N. Andrews was kind of he got sick when he was around the age of 13 or 14. And he had to drop out of school. But he was an ambitious young man. By the age of 14, he was a spiritual leader that would get his friends together to pray. And at age 14, he went to his father, and his father was a farmer. And he had a very special request for his dad. He wanted his dad to buy him books on, guess what, Greek and Hebrew. And Mr. Andrews was stuck at home, and he started studying Greek and Hebrew, and at age 14, he became such a vigorous Bible student that he formed a daily habit of rising in the morning every day at 4 a.m., and studying hours before breakfast. What time did he get up? 4 a.m. And he took God's word to heart and studied and studied. And during his lifetime, he read the Bible in 7 languages, Greek and Hebrew and English and German and French and a couple other languages. And so at the beginning of the Adventist church, when our church was in its beginning stages, and there was calls from Europe for missionaries to come over, the General Conference decided to send J.N. Andrews. And when he was sent over, you know what Ellen White said about J.N. Andrews? She said that we sent the ablest man among us. He was both, in the early church, he was both our greatest scholar and our first foreign missionary. Why do you think that God was able to use this man, J.N. Andrews, in such an amazing way? And as he became a man, and as he did things in life, why was God able to use J.N. Andrews in such an extraordinary way? Do you know? It's because J.N. Andrews formed a good character, and he formed good habits of daily living when he was 14 years old. He formed good character and good habits of daily living when he was how old? 14. You know, I used to listen to people's testimonies, and I would hear these wild testimonies, you know, about these people that God had worked powerfully in their life, and God had delivered them from smoking and from drugs or violence, or they had some colorful background of being involved in crime or getting out of jail. And I used to wonder to myself, as I was a young Adventist boy, I wonder if I need to go out into the world to experience Well, you know, to get in trouble and then experience God's power coming back in, and then I'll have a great testimony. Have any of you ever wondered that before? If you need to go out into the world before you can have a powerful testimony? You know, it's wonderful to see and to hear testimonies from people our age that grew up in really rough, non-Christian situations, and God delivered them powerfully. But do you know that God needs you guys at this age to be committed fully to Him right now? And right now is the age that we are forming the character and setting the direction for the rest of our life. Did you know that? So if you want to open your Bibles to Psalm 16 and verse 11. I used to live in Wichita, Kansas, where we had incredible lightning storms. How many of you like lightning storms? And I would go outside and we just have these fantastic shows. And they're even better than Northern Lights. I still love lightning shows. But when you look out and you see a lightning, and then the lightning starts, it's coming from the cloud, and it strikes a tree on the ground, does the lightning go straight from the cloud to the tree in a straight line? No. Lightning strike, it wanders here and there. It's more crooked than a dog's back leg. What path does lightning follow? It follows the path of least resistance. And do you know that that's how a lot of us live? We just kind of lollygag through life. Na, 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 na. Just following the path of least resistance. Not really sure where we're headed in life. And you know that when we're wandering through life like that, not really sure why we're living, what purpose we have, not sure what our aim is, the devil's got us. And that's God, living for God gives you so much more meaning and satisfaction. Because God doesn't want our life to be like a lightning strike. He wants our life to be straight as an arrow. That we can hit the target that He holds out for us. This is what Ellen White is talking about. In the book Education, page 261, the chapter The Life Work. Have any of you ever heard of this book, Education? I am so glad I read this book when I was a teenager, and I hope that you do too. Fantastic book. And the chapter on The Life Work. Young disciples, I want you all looking at me right now, and I want you to listen very closely to what I read, because these are very, very important words. They have a lot of meaning. So look at me as I'm reading these. This says, success in any line demands a definite aim. Success in life demands what? A definite aim. That's why you can't just wander through life wondering, oh, what do I want out of life? No, you have to set your eyes on the mark. And you have to know what you're about. Success in any line demands a definite aim. He who would achieve true success in life must keep steadily in view the aim worthy of his endeavor. Does anybody here want to achieve true success in life? I do. And you know what? I hope that you guys do achieve true success in life. And I hope that I'm looking at a group of young disciples tonight who God is going to use your lives in powerful ways. I think it would just be amazing if we could know ahead of time your guys' stories of how God is going to use you. Future engineers, future computer programmers, teachers, people who travel, missionaries to America. I hope all of you are missionaries. Some foreign missionaries, writers, lawyers. God has big dreams for you guys. Do you believe that?
Yes, sir.
And You know, when we get caught in the trap of this world, life just isn't what it could be. God has big dreams for you. But we have to know what they are, and we have to keep in view the target. He who would achieve true success in life must keep steadily in view the aim worthy of his endeavor. Listen closely. Such an aim, such a target, is set before the youth of today. The heaven-appointed purpose of giving the gospel to the world in this generation is the noblest that can appeal to any human being. It opens a field of effort to everyone whose heart Christ has touched. So, this generation, it says, has one goal, one aim that is above every other aim in life, and that is to take the gospel to the world. What is the aim? Take the gospel to the world. And if you guys get out there and see the world, you see why they need it so much. The world is a yucky, hurting place, and people need hope, and they need life, and they need to hear the gospel from you. And God wants you to be a source of ministry and of happiness to those around. What? Let's see, this is the second week of summer camp. What's this week called? Missions and music. What is our mission? To take the gospel to the world. And besides that, what camp is this? Young disciple camp. What is a disciple? A follower of Christ that leads others to follow Christ and makes other disciples. This is an aim and a target that you need before your eyes right now at the age that you are. You know, there's some interesting things ahead of us right now in this world, and God is going to use you young disciples to do some amazing things. It's going to be the final showdown between good and evil in our own generation. And I was talking about last night how our world has worse temptations than ever before. But just like Mr. Pruitt was saying in deep Bible study class this morning, he is absolutely right. We also have greater advantages than previous generations. And I mean, we have all kinds of Bible software and knowledge, and we can study, and we have tools of communication to encourage people and to keep in touch with people and travel. You know, there's tribes in Africa that don't have a written language. And so you know what we're doing? We're taking iPods to them with solar panels on them so that they can listen to the scripture in their own language. And God, in his incredible mercy, has given us the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And he's withheld nothing. Listen, young people, God has withheld no blessing from the Seventh-day Adventist Church. He's given us instruction on education and universities and healthcare and hospitals and printing presses and media and science and health work. And although we've despised most of it, God, in his abundant mercy, has given us a prophet for the last days, Ellen White, not because the information's not in Scripture, but to make it abundantly clear our duty today. Young people, you're living in a generation that not only has incredible temptations, but you have incredible opportunities. Incredible opportunities. I'm glad I got one amen. And in our generation, Jesus describes it that in the last days the world's going to become a very ugly place. The love of many will grow cold, it says in Matthew 24. The world's going to become a hateful place. Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold, and eventually, there's going to be a showdown. Again, over the issue of worship, as always. And the mark of the beast is going to be enforced and worship to the image of the beast. And these type of things that we need to be keenly aware of and studying. Just like Mr. Pruitt said in deep Bible study this morning, that's our homework for today, is to be studying Daniel and Revelation. And so this goes on to describe God's purpose for young disciples. It says, God's purpose for the children growing up beside our hearths. That's, in other words, the children just growing up in our living rooms is wider and deeper and higher than our restricted vision has comprehended. From the humblest home, those whom he has seen faithful have in time past been called to witness for him in the world's highest places. And then it says, listen to this, many a lad of today, many of you, many a lad of today growing up, as did Daniel in his Judean home, studying God's word and his works. He was studying the Bible at a very young age. By the way, Jesus, when he walked on earth, how young was he when he was a very good Bible student? 12. At the age of 12, he was in the temple opening the scriptures and asking questions that the teachers couldn't ask. So by the age of 12, you should be a very good Bible student. And if you're going to be a good Bible student before by the age of 12, then you're probably learning it before 12. That's right. Many a lad of today growing up as did Daniel in his Judean home, studying God's word and his works and learning the lessons of faithful service, will yet stand in legislative assemblies, in halls of justice, or in royal courts as a witness for the King of Kings. Multitudes will be called to a wider ministry. Did you know that many of us will stand in legislative halls giving witness, and in courtrooms giving witness for God? Now, when God calls us to stand in court and give testimony, or in Congress or in White House, is he just going to call myself and Mr. Pruitt, or is he going to call you guys? It says, many a lad of today, growing up in the humblest homes, we don't know who God will call, but the contest over worship, when it comes, the situation comes that the laws of the land, especially over the issue of Sabbath, will be contrary to the laws of God. Jesus described it in Mark 13, how we will be called to give witness before kings and in courts. It's forced witness. And in today's age, you know what that means? That means that we will have the opportunity to give witness to God on ABC News and NBC and through the media. We do not know where God will call us, but there's one aim that we need to have before us, and that is taking the gospel to this world. Amen? Oh, my heart just wonders, you know, what God has for your future. Some of you held up your hands last night and made a commitment that when you go home, there's things in your home, there's things in your bedroom, there's things in your computer that you need to delete and destroy. There may be music, there may be posters, but you held up your hand, you said, there's something I need to get rid of, I need to cut out of my life. Sometimes the temptation is to think, if I cut things out of my life, I won't have a life. And it's not true. When you begin following God is when you begin living. Amen? God's dreams for you is much wider and broader and deeper than any of us can conceive. And young people, how many of you want to be used by God to take the gospel to the world? And if you want to be used by God to take the gospel to the world, that doesn't happen by one big decision in life. That doesn't happen by one event. That happens by the day-to-day things that we do, just like Jay and Andrews, our devotional habits when we're a teenager. The way we treat people when we're standing in line. The way we relate to our parents when nobody else is watching. It's these small things. You're not going to become an excellent disciple of Jesus by something big happening in your life. You might daydream of some big opportunity coming along. It's not going to happen. It's excellence in the small things. Amen? And when you, well, I used the illustration the other night of building a house. And when you're old, you get to put the roof on the house. But what part of the house are we building right now? Foundation. And every single day, whether you like it or not, you're putting another brick on that foundation. And if you're not living your day right, your foundation is getting really shaky. So at the end of your life, when you look back on your life, it's not the result of the big things that happened. It's the result of everyday decisions. Are you smiling at people? Are you making people happy? Are you sharing the love of God with people? So as we end tonight, and as I make my appeal, I want to read this verse that you opened to, Psalm 16 and verse 11. Psalm 16 and verse 11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life." God has a path for your life. Don't you doubt it. And what will that path be like? It says, "In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Some people think that when you follow God, that means that you're going to be sad. We don't need sad Christians. You know, the kind that have the miserable expression on their face all day. You know, like they look like porcupines dipped in lemon juice. We don't need a sad expression on our face. When Jesus comes into our heart, when we follow the path, He is going to fill us with happiness, with peace, and with joy, so full of it that other people are going to want it. Well, with all of this, young disciples, do you want to be true young disciples?
Yes, sir.
Do you want to carry the gospel to the world?
Yes, sir.
And my question for you tonight is, we sing it every night, "Here am I, Lord, send me." And you don't know where God's going to send you. I don't know where God's going to send me. I know where God has me right now. I don't know where God's going to send me. But I know that God has a great work for many of us, for all of us. Are you willing to go wherever God leads you? Raise your hand. Wherever God leads you, you say that you're willing to go to be a spokesperson for Him. This world needs it. The world is hungry. Thank you. For people like you who will take the gospel to this world. And thank the Lord for missions camp that can inspire us at this young age so that we don't have to wander through life like all the other people in school, but that we know what we're about and sharing God's love with the world. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're challenged by people who have gone before us, like Jane Andrews, who as a teenager formed good character and good habits and became the first Adventist missionary and our greatest scholar. And Lord, many of us sitting here tonight, I know it. I know it. You're going to call us to give witness to many people. You're going to call us to stand for you. And Lord, all of us, it's not just me, every one of us is praying tonight that you will give us strength tomorrow to make good decisions as we put the next brick on the building, that we can form a good character to be a missionary for you to take this gospel to the world. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.